And I'm reading this today, and I thought this is pretty cool. It's a pretty good story. And it's not only a story, but it's a true story. And if you know anything about your Bible, you know Jeremiah. Last night, I usually go to bed early, but I turned the news on or something. And I came down, I was going through to get the news on, and something about the movie came on, the Kingdom of Heaven. And I said, what in the world is that? And I started looking at it. It's about the Crusades. And if y'all read anything about the Crusades, you know about King Richard the Lionheart went to, try to keep Jerusalem. And, the Catholic Church taught those Englishmen and all that if they died in the cause of trying to hold Jerusalem, they would have eternal life and that kind of mess. Muslims teach the same thing even today. They say if you kill an infidel, you kill a Jew, you guaranteed heaven. You're guaranteed. Isn't that something where you have to guarantee heaven to kill people? Isn't that something? When the Lord talks about if you just trust him, you get saved, you go into heaven. I mean, if you trust him, it's so easy. And what it is so good that you want to see other people come to get saved and get to go to heaven. I mean, you don't walk around with a gun trying to kill everybody and trying to send people to, you think, well, if I killed these infidels, I'll go to heaven. That ain't so. But here, you study your Bible and you study history that there's been 49 wars fought over Jerusalem. Oh, just over Jerusalem. That's crazy. Over one little city that's a bunch of rocks and a bunch of walls. But that's a city the Bible calls a city of peace. And there hadn't been no peace. You say, is that a contradiction? And then the Bible tells you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace. And when we was walking through the Lion Gate over there, we walked through there, and the missionary was showing us all the 50 caliber machine gun holes that were in the walls. They were fighting over that walls. And then the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom kingdom of God. Now, if you're saved, you got the kingdom of God inside you. But if you're not saved, we're living in the kingdom of heaven right now, whether you believe it or not. You say, what do you mean? John chapter 3, hold your place in Daniel. Look at John. Well, look what John says. The Bible says, maybe it's John 11. We're living in the kingdom of heaven right now. And if this is it, brother, I tell you what, this is pretty, you say, well, this is hell on earth. No, it ain't. If this is the only hell that I'll ever see, if that's the case. And if I tell people all the time that's lost, I say, if you're not saved, this is the only part of heaven you'll ever see. If you're not saved. It's Matthew chapter 11. And talk about John the Baptist. And you need to mark this in your Bible. And this is what made me think about this thing tonight. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So how do you know this is the kingdom of heaven right here? You know what? You want to show somebody something, and you want to make them think, you show them this verse. Look next verse. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth what? Wow. Violence. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. I'm going to tell you something. Up in heaven, in the third heaven, God's kingdom, there ain't going to be no violence up there. Ain't nobody going to take over. The devil tried it, got kicked out. And it says the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violent, look what it says, and the violent taketh it by force. The violent taketh it by force. You talk about the elections and the world and all this stuff going on. You watch all this stuff, conspiracy stuff going on. And some of that, I believe some of that stuff is right and it's true. But I know who's in charge, though. Sure. I know who wins in the end because I read the last chapter of the book. I know how it, isn't it something? I know how it's going to turn out. I know how everything's going to turn out. And the Christian's going to be on top. The Jew's going to be on top. And Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4, and Nebuchadnezzar was the king of all the world, folks. There was 120-some providences, and he was king of all the world, known world. Alexander the Great came after Nebuchadnezzar, after the Medes and the Persians. He became king over all the known world. He was only 30-some years old. He ended up dying, at 30-some years old, and just of a broken heart because there was nothing else for him to conquer. But Nebuchadnezzar, he had the dream. Daniel chapter 2, and Daniel interprets the dream about the four kingdoms that's going to be. There's only going to be four kingdoms that's really going to mean something in this world to set up the system. And the system's already been set up. And the image in Daniel, if you read Daniel 2, is telling you about the system that was set up, the image. And then Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar makes a beast and wants everybody to bow down to it. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they don't bow down to it, and they get thrown in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. And this guy here is, if he said you die, you die. If he said you live, you live. If he said you're rich, you're rich. If he said you're poor, you're poor. Whatever this guy said on the in the kingdom of heaven was true. Whatever he said, it could happen. And Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nation, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied on you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. This guy that had Daniel's influence around him, and Daniel, the Jew, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this guy starts writing about the great God in heaven. But he believed in many gods, like the Indians do over in India. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, his dominion from generation to generation. You would think this guy's saved. This guy knows what he's talking about. I mean, Old Testament, they weren't saved like you and I'm saved. Your seals and all that, they weren't saved like that. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I mean, this guy, folks, he didn't own a record player. He didn't own just anything. He owned the whole band. He owned everything. This guy had everything. I remember hearing a black preacher say that. He said, man, he owned everything. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. And the thoughts of my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. And therefore, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, and that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. You would think this guy would have learned the first time, but he doesn't. Then came the magicians, the astrologers. Here's all the scientists. And all the guys that know better for you. It says, and the magicians, astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last, Daniel came in before me. Hallelujah. Thank God for Daniel. I love reading the book of Daniel. I'm telling you what, it's got a lot of prophecy in the book of Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. Notice that, little g. He, like I said, the guy, he worshiped many gods. So God of Israel, the God of the Bible and everything, he just adopted as his God also. But he really didn't know him. He just adopted, like a lot of people do. They always talk about God. You know, we believe in God. And God is our father. You have to be born into God's family to be his child. You got to be born. You can't. Everybody. I tell people all the time, just because you say we're all God's children, that doesn't make it so. Amen. You're not God's child if you're not saved. And the world tries to say, we're all God's children. We're all going to the same place. And I said, well, if that's the case, then you're all going to hell if you're not saved. You're going to the same place. And it says, but at last Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, notice a little g, and before him I told him the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. And that was another miracle. The guy didn't know what the dream was, but he knew he had a dream. And he said, you tell me the dream and then give me the interpretation. He says, doth were the vision of mine head and my bed I saw and behold a tree. Now he's telling them that back in the first time he told that dream, he didn't know what it was. And Daniel told him what it was. And here's this one he's telling about this other that he said, I was in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong. You know, you talk about the family tree. Here it is. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven. And, you know, Rumpelstiltskin and all that stuff, the tree goes up. You ever remember what was that giant? Jack in the Box. There you go. Jack in the Beanstalk, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the restaurant, Jack in the Box. Yeah, I didn't get all that stuff. Yeah. Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack in the Box. Oh, Belshazzar. Oh, look on down. Thus were the visions of mine head and my bed, and I saw, and behold, a tree grew in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. In it was meat for all, and the beasts of the field that shadowed under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the wrought thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher. That's something Mike was talking about a couple weeks ago. Who's them watchers? Somebody watching. There's an eye up on high watching you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in all the earth. God's watching. You know who else is watching? The devil's watching. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But these watchers are somebody else. You say, you can guess who they might be. They could be the angels. Could be the 24 elders. Could be the seraphims. Could be the cherubims. The watchers. And a holy one came down from heaven. Behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said, thus hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth. That's important right there, the stump of his roots. Why? Because in Daniel chapter 2, those four kingdoms represent whatever the Antichrist is going to be. He's going to be a part of Babylon, part of Medes and Persians. He's going to be part of the Grecian, part of Rome. It's all together, all four kingdoms. If you want to be technical, five. It says, and scatter his fruit, and let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls of his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. You know that Bible talks about in that Revelation, there's going to be some things showing up, got iron in them. Got iron. It says, and brass, and the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. Notice the beast. Revelation 13. There's a beast coming up out of the Mediterranean Sea. Revelation 13 represents a man. And notice also, and let seven times pass over him, 7 years. 7 years. And then he says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. So up in heaven, you know, like when in the book of, Kings, when the Lord says, who's going to persuade Ahab to go down there and go to battle? And all of them came and said this way and that way. And then the Bible says they once came before him and said, I'll do it. And he does. And you start reading that stuff, you say, man, there's something going up in the atmosphere, brother. There's something going on. There's something going on. And I remember Doc used to say this. He said, everything down here has a representative up there. Something's going on. The watchers. It just matter. You say, what is that? I mean, I realize this. When the Bible talks about the Lord making the decree and all this stuff, and I mean, we're not Calvinists, but we know that this Bible's got to come out like the Bible says it's going to come out, God's word. But there's also in between there where God works in the will of men. And God's, you say, can God change his mind about certain things? When it's written down, when it's down solid in the scriptures, he doesn't change. But God, in certain things, he can change. You say, what? Hezekiah, he said, get your house in order, you're going to die. And then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall because it wasn't written down yet. And then Hezekiah prayed and said, God, you know, and God said, okay, Hezekiah, Isaiah, go back and tell him he's going to live. So God can change his mind. With Moses, God, he said he stood between God and congregation. And there's some people that you can, you know, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God's put us in a position to stand between him and whoever we're praying for and seeking a family member, asking God to intercede for them, save them. I thought about how many times that somebody prayed for me before I was saved. How many times, I wonder how many people, I remember riding by cars, waving at people and stuff like that as a little kid. And I thought, I wonder if anybody named cars, because I do that now. People ride by, I wave to little kids and I pray for them. I don't know who they are, but I pray for them. But look at this. It says this, verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and demanded by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whom, you notice that, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Well, we know that, Joe Biden did. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. I mean, Daniel had a reputation. And you read, when you read this book, these are the Jews are in captivity. And when you read Jeremiah is warning them about captivity. He's telling them, you're going to go because you rebelled. The 10 northern tribes, they go into captivity. Why? Because when you read through 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, you'll find those northern tribes, that Jeroboam comes along, and he sets up, Bethel, and he sets up Dan and has a golden calf and all that, because he was worried about losing people going back to Jerusalem and going back under Rehoboam. And he sets it up and starts a process that wasn't able to stop. Man, they went into idolatry, and you find them northern kings, every one of them go bad. Every one of them. Just very seldom you find a good one. I've been reading about Ahab. My Lord. Ahab and his children, his wife. Oh, my Lord, that was a terrible thing. But when you're reading Jeremiah, Jeremiah's telling them, this is going to happen. And they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. And the last king in Israel that gets out of Jerusalem, he gets caught. His name is Zedekiah. And Nebuchadnezzar puts his eyes out in front of, and he sees his kids get killed in front of him, and then he puts his eyes out. And then takes him to Babylon for the rest of his life. Takes his eyes out. Can you imagine? That's the last thing you've seen, your kids screaming and yelling. And Nebuchadnezzar was a cruel man. I mean, he was a cruel king. And here he comes writing this down, and Daniel's writing it down, telling about this guy. This guy went in, wiped out children, everything. He wiped out everything. And then he says, then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. And his thoughts troubled him. And the king said, spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream nor the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream is to be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof is to thine enemies. He says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. So he's saying, your kingdom spreads around the whole world. That tree covers the world, man. And you're feeding all these people and all these nations, and you're taking care of them, and they're under your tree. You're the king of the world. You know, we know the Lord's going to come back one day, and he's going to be king of the world. Guess what? He's going to take it by force. You read Revelation 19, he's coming back. He's going to take it by force. Kingdom of heaven been taken by force. And, you know, that's the way it is. And when the Lord comes back, he's going to take care of that. And he says, verse 20, the tree that thou sawest which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven in the sight thereof of all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, for it was meat to all, under that which the beast of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of the heavens had their habitation. If it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached on the end of heaven, and thy kingdom to the end of the earth. Think about that. God knew that this guy was going to be the king of all the known world. Look at verse 23. Whereas the king saw watchers and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down, cut it down. Hew it down. You know, we talk about the family tree. We talk about, you know, how it branches off and everything. Can you imagine God cutting somebody's tree down? Them have nothing to show for their family, their heritage. Nothing. And he sees that, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. In the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let its portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over, 7 years. He's the type of the Antichrist, man. Exact type of the Antichrist. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come down upon my Lord, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. Wolf man. Here's the first wolf man. He's not even a wolf man. He's a bird man. He's an eagle. The eagles have arrived. And it says, they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. 7 years shall pass over thee till the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. It says that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know what? You say, preacher, are we right on course in the earth right now? We're right on course. Right on course, what God said. We don't like it. I definitely don't like what's happened. You don't like what's happened with our country. We think America is the greatest country in the world. We've been proud about that. Pride of America. We've been proud of it. We don't like it. But the world, the system's got to, everybody's got to become equal. And the countries of the world's got to come up, and America's got to go down. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, verse 27, and break off thy sins. Daniel says, here's something, if you'll just do right, if you'll repent and get right with God, I'll tell you what, things can change. You never know, God might change his mind. Look what Daniel said. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to the poor. It may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He said, man, I'll tell you what, if you'll do this, I think God will have mercy on you if you'll just do it. You know what? How many times have you seen people that will not humble themselves, will not do what's right when they know what's right is? They won't do right. They're just going to lose. They say, well, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to live the way I want. I'll do what I want. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Teenagers, we've all as teenagers done that. And teenagers now, they do that. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do with my life. I live my then I'll tell you what. You're gonna face the consequences. Because the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. God's not even mocked with Nebuchadnezzar. And look what happens to the guy. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in this palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Only took a year before this guy fell. 1 year. And then the king spake and said, is not this great at Babylon, which I have built for the house of the kingdom of the by my might and by my power for the honor of my majesty? He got lifted up in himself. Daniel told him, said, man, if you don't just humble and get right with God, you know, we always tell people, if you just get right with God, things can change. And it can. But people won't do it. And then what's right, they just won't do it. And here Nebuchadnezzar, this guy was known in all the world as one of the, you know, great kings of the world. He had kings under him, but he was the number one king. I mean, this guy was cruel. He was he killed at will. His word was law, his word. And it says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. I want to see that. I really want to get to heaven. I want the Lord to replay that one. I want to see when that he's walking along his kingdom saying, look at what I've built. Look what I've done. I'm the greatest king there ever was. And the Lord's voice says, hey! Don't you know he fell to the ground? Because you read the next chapter, chapter 5, his son comes along and he's drinking out of the cups of the temple and everything and bragging about how great their kingdom is. And all of a sudden there was a handwriting on the wall. It says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as the oxen. Seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. This guy ends up turning into an animal, a real looking animal, wild man. I mean, can you imagine walking out on your balcony at night at the palace and all of a sudden you see this, running through the trees and stuff. Yeah, we got a bird over at the house, had a bird, a peacock. I told Jesse that peacock was going to come up and peck him. I had to evict the peacock out of my garage. He was in my garage, wouldn't leave. Big old sucker too, man, big bird. You talking about big bird. I chased that dude around the garage. He was up in the rafters. I had a stick and I was whacking at him, trying to get him down. Finally, he slammed himself in the wall and went down in the corner, and I threw a blanket over him and grabbed him by his neck and big old body. I mean, that dude, he was that tall. Had fuzz sticking out of his head. He didn't want to leave my garage. Jesse wouldn't go outside. He wouldn't go because he knew that bird was out there. Linda was out there last night pinning up the dog. She heard something. She took off running. Thought that thing was going to chase her. Big birds on the prowl. This is definitely a big bird right here. This dude, this guy, the Lord turns this guy into an animal. I mean, look what it says. You said, you believe that? Oh, yeah, I believe every word of it. God has no problem turning people into different things if he wanted to. It says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon verse 33, upon Nebuchadnezzar, that he was driven from men, did eat grass as an oxen. I mean, you hear the guy was sitting at the table eating all kinds of meat, eating whatever he wanted, whenever he felt like it, whoever he wanted to invite to dinner. Sitting at his table, he had probably 100, 200, 300 people sitting at his table around the room. Here he's out there while they're in there enjoying his food. He's out there pecking like a bird on the ground, eating grass. Don't you know, man? And then the Bible says this, look what it says, till his hairs were grown like eagles with feathers. I was getting ready to say wings, but feathers. His nails like bird claws. He had to be can you imagine the kind of sight that dude was? He never brushed his teeth after that, for sure. 7 years running around there like a wild animal and making noises at night around the kingdom. People afraid to go outside. So who's that? Nebuchadnezzar, he's in the garden tonight. He's checking out the tulips. One time I got crazy on the thing. I was jumping around, acting like a bird. And the first time I think the Wicks came to this church, the kids thought it was fun. I was on top of the piano, acting like a bird and everything. The kids said, the first time we ever came to your church, you were on top of the piano, acting like an animal. And the little girl said, I really liked it. Kids like it when you go crazy. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, look what he says. At the end of the day, 7 years. 7 years. You know, they always say every 7 years, your cells change, all that stuff. This dude had a time after 7 years to get himself back together, get his feathers plucked and get shaved up. But you know what? What happened? The Lord humbled that dude. Look at the end of the chapter, or I can read the rest of it. He says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. I mean, this guy lost his mind. He lost his ever-loving mind. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are replete as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doeth thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. He said, man, I started coming back to myself. I started realizing my pride, what I'd done, what I've said. You think about, man, when people are in hell, they're going to remember. Because the Bible says in Luke 16, he says, son, remember. That's going to be probably the worst thing, remembering you had an opportunity. You had a chance. He said, the time by my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, and mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, and all whose works are true, his ways, judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He's saying, I've learned a great lesson. Take your Bible, look at the Proverbs chapter 6. The Ryman family are known, we were known for pride, even though we were nothing, but still, we all got pride in us. Some families have more pride than others. And we just, I don't know, man, it's just we got pride. It's hard to say you're sorry. It's hard to say I was wrong. And some people, well, they said, well, I'll die before I tell anybody I was wrong. You might. You might. And pride is one of the worst battles that we have, one of the worst. You know, Daniel was telling him, he said, if you'll just humble yourself, get right with God, God might have mercy. But you know, men go to hell because of their pride. People will not get right with God because of their pride. People will not come to church because of their pride. Or they won't get things right with other Christians in the church because of their pride. And pride, you know, Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And like I said, we all got pride. We all deal with it. We all got to fight it. I remember telling y'all about Gene Kahn's husband. We had a boxing ring out here, and we had a boxing ring set up for a youth rally. And he said, why don't we just, we could have bought it for $500. I mean, a whole boxing, real ring. Squeaky scene. I mean, it was a real ring. It was set up, man. You tighten up the ropes and all that stuff. I said, and he said, why don't we set it up in the gym? I said, no, man. He said, have boxing. You know, the reason why I don't like to get around that, because I know me. I know my pride. Because somebody tags me, I'm going to tag them back. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And it's a pride thing. And that's why I told him, I said, can you imagine us? He said, well, we can go out there, and if anybody got something against each other in the church, they can go out there in the gym and settle it. It won't get settled there. No way. You know where it gets settled? It gets settled at an altar. Humbling yourself. It won't get settled in the ring, because of pride goeth before destruction. These six things the Lord hates. Look at this. We're going to look at some verses on pride just for a few minutes. Look at this. It says, these six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. A proud look goes along with a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. Pride. Go to chapter 8. Look at verse 13. People won't come to church. Pride. People got something against somebody in the church. You know what? And rather than them humbling themselves and say, look, you know, I noticed this when my wife and I got in arguments, and somebody, the first one that says they're sorry is usually the other one will say, you know what? If the other one says, well, I knew you was wrong and you needed to get right anyway, that all that does is start another fight. Yeah. It's ground for divorce. Well, if you'll just say, you know what, I was wrong too. Takes two to tango, I'm wrong too. And, you know, get things right. That way a marriage will last. If you don't, they're not going to last. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, in an evil way, and froward mouth do I hate. I mean, isn't that something? And I know this, that if first person usually says, I'm sorry, honey, I shouldn't have said that, I did this. It usually settles it if they've got any wisdom. That's why I was saying last week, Sunday night, Who had some things that wisdom helped you out? God showed you some wisdom. Wisdom, I've asked God for wisdom to raise my children, to love my wife, because there's times where, you know, she's not lovely, and I'm not lovely towards her. And you got to pray. You've got to pray, really. You got to pray and be humble yourself. And marriage will last that way because, you know, the devil right there, brother, he's right there to tell you just get rid of him. Look at Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, I wonder what that hand joined in hand. What is that? Hand joined in hand. Are they maybe holding hands together? Or doing this? Hand joined in hand shall not be unpunished. Check out 21:4. Pride is one of them things that we all battle. And there's nobody, you know, the Bible talks about Moses being the most meekest man on the earth, but Moses, he got mad and killed somebody. And after that, he was, you know, walking with God all them years. Then he got mad at the children of Israel and smacked a rock when God told him not to do it. He lost his ticket in the promised land. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 4. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Sin. So what is pride? Most of the time, it's sin. It's sin in our life. The origin of it, go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Nobody wants to admit they were wrong. Nobody wants to admit that they shouldn't have done what they did or said what they said or you know, whatever. Nobody wants to admit that because there's something in us in the human nature that pride will step in because it goes right back to the Garden of Eden. The devil said, yeah, you know, God knows the day you eat there, you're going to be like God. Right? Started in the Garden of Eden. Yep. He knows that as soon as you eat that tree, you're going to be just like him. That's when, and then, okay, we'll see about that. 2 Kings 20, look at verse 13. Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things. So what is this? Notice, Hezekiah is showing them all the jewels and all the money, all the stuff in his house, then, and his pride got the best of him. He says the precious ointments and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasury, there was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. And guess where they were from? Verse 18. And thy sons, the prophet comes and tells Hezekiah, look at verse 17. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into where? Babylon. This is before they went into captivity. Pride. Man, I'm telling you what. You know, we get so lifted up in ourselves. We have, it's a, look in Psalms chapter 10. Look at that. Look at Psalms 10. We all deal with it. Some people have more pride than others. You know, now St. Patrick's Day, you know, pride of the Irish. Pride of the Irish. What's so proud of the Irish? Oh, they all get drunk. And got little leprechauns running around trying to find some gold. The pride of place. Pride of race. Pride. So what's wrong with that? Look at verse 2 of Psalms 10. The wicked in his pride doeth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. The wicked in his pride doeth persecute the poor. You know, you think about all the wars that's going on and all the wars that's been throughout ages and ages and ages. It's all about taking something that somebody else has. You read through there, you read history, and you go, man, oh, man. Whew. All the killing, all the stuff going on. So, I've had people say this to me, how come God don't do something about it? I said, he will. He will. Even in the millennium, folks, when Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, there's going to be people that won't come to see him because of their pride. The devil's going to be loose for a little while, and he's going to walk around like Absalom and say, look here, God is unjust. That's what he tells people right now. God is not right. And boy, he'll just get them all lifted up in themselves and say, yeah, I'm going to tell God a few things when I get there. I'm going to tell God blankety blank you. Oh, yeah? I want to be there and watch. I want to see when you tell God that. Look in Proverbs 13. Look at this, verse 10. Whenever you have a problem with a brother or sister in church, whenever there's a problem with people in the church and kids or what have you, remember this verse. Mark it in your Bible. Only by pride cometh what? When there's contentions, there's always pride involved. And I've had people say, I'm never going to tell them I'm sorry. I'll never go back to church. I ain't going to deal with them people. Only by pride. Pride is something, brother. It's strong. Pride is strong. Only by pride cometh contention. You got a problem with a brother or sister? Pray for them. Don't hate them. Don't think ill of them. Don't do all that stuff. I've had to learn that, folks. I'm still learning that. I had to learn that, and like David, I keep praying, Lord, let me be like David. I want to be more like David, not when he went out and messed with Bathsheba, but I want to be more like David when it says he was a man after God's own heart. I want to be where he had compassion when God brought judgment because of David's deciding to number the people. And Lord says, here are three choices. And he said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. And then when the judgment fell and the death angel came and plague came, he said, God, dude, it's me and my house. They didn't have nothing to do with it. If they're innocent. David was willing to sacrifice his own family for this, what was going on. You know, Paul the Apostle was the same way. He said, Lord, I'd die and go to hell just for Israel. Only by pride cometh contention. 21 verse 24. They use this against Dr. Rutman. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. They use that against Doc, saying he was, all right, I'm in 22, I'm sorry. Wrong verse. I was going to preach it anyway. 21:24. Whosoever keepeth his mouth, keepeth his tongue, his soul from troubles. Pride and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in pride wrath. See that thing? 23, I said, and 24. And it said, pride and haughty scorner is his name. I don't want to be known for being so, I have to be right all the time. I want to be right. I want everything I say to be right. But, sometimes when you're dealing with certain people, you say something and you're not right. What you got to do is be able to admit it and say, that wasn't right. Look at 28. We'll stop with it. I got so many other verses on pride. It cut me to pieces just studying it. Whenever you study about pride, it just cuts you up. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up what? Say it with me. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up what? Strife. Strife. Some people just can't be satisfied with everything going good. They cannot be satisfied with things going right, especially if it's for somebody else. Why is God blessing that person? Why is God helping him? I know about him. And God says, well, I know about you. Pride, shame, and destruction follows it. And one more verse, Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him what? A man's pride shall bring him low. But look what else it says. See, it doesn't just throw that out there, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Honor shall hold the humble in spirit. So when you find yourself swelling up, think about it. Ask God to bring it back to your mind. I mean, really, tonight when we pray, say, Lord, when I start swelling up and thinking I'm somebody, the Bible says, if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. So, Lord, when I start swelling up thinking about how great I am, like Nebuchadnezzar, no doubt, was great. You know, the Bible tells you this, let another man praise thee and not thy own lips, thy own mouth. But we all got pride. And like I said, the Ryman family, we got a lot of pride, a lot of pride. And, you know, God's been good to us, and we're proud of it. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful. My brother Ken, come on. Actually, Jay, come on first.